D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow's college football game of the week is Kentucky at Vanderbilt at 2:30 on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.
Little Friday night here, back in the day. You're envisioning your Friday night with Cool and the Gang. D-Mace and I are getting ready. Going to go out. Adam's going to be driving. He's going to pick us up.
And where are we going?
We're going out on the town.
Where are we going? We're going out on the town.
We're going to meet up with the fellas.
Hitting the town.
Hopefully find, where do we go? The Tenderonis?
Yeah, Tenderonis.
Find you some tendies.
We got to go get some tendies.
Oh, man. Let's go to our phone line and bring in our friend Chad Withrow.
We mean chicken tenders. That's what we mean.
We'll pick up Chad. We'll pick
exactly.
up Chad on the
we
way.
Get Chad,
yeah.
on Chad, the
Chad
way.
Can come too. He's brought to you by a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa.
We can get a Moments Peace after that.
Oh, see?
You know?
There's not going to be any moments of peace with the four of us going out on the town.
This is the night, gentlemen. This is the night.
You'll see the light.
The Friday night for me growing up was leaving Mount Juliet and going to Second Avenue in downtown Nashville, and we ended up at Laser Quest and Sbarro. The biggest loser moves ever. I can guarantee you there were absolutely no tenderoni around Laser Quest or Sbarro, but that's where we ended up.
There will be no Sbarro slander on this program.
Oh, my goodness.
Nor Laser Quest. Laser Quest on the right night could hit the spot.
Yeah.
Just not too often, you know. Yeah. Not every night.
I just never hit the right night, apparently. That was my problem.
No ladies' nights at Laser Quest. But, Chad. No.
Not likely to find the ladies.
No. But, Chad, you are well aware of how long it's been since Tennessee won in the Swamp. And, frankly, Vanderbilt needs Tennessee to win. So the Vols are ranked next week, assuming Vanderbilt also takes care of business tomorrow against Kentucky. How should Vols fans feel about the matchup tomorrow at Florida?
I think Vols fans already feel like it's already over. They've already lost. Look, this is where battered Vol syndrome pops in, right? Like, it's a fan base thing. They've seen this story a million times over in so many different ways. I mean, in sometimes the same way. Tennessee lost in back-to-back trips to the Swamp in 2015 and 2017 by 63-yard touchdowns to end the game. Twice. They lost to a 63-yard touchdown in 2015 and 2017. So, look, it's been a house of horrors for Tennessee. And even in the wins over Florida, guys, which they've had here recently, which has been a nice change, they haven't played well. They didn't play well a year ago in Knoxville. They won in overtime against the Florida team that was struggling at the time. You know, in 2022, that great season, that was Anthony Richardson's best game as a Florida Gator, and it came down to the very last play. I mean, there's plenty of examples. Tennessee in the first half in 2016 in a win looked terrible, fell behind 21-3 and came back and won with Josh Dobbs and Josh Malone and those guys. So it's been a series where Tennessee, for whatever reason, has just not played well. Here's the deal for Josh Heupel in Tennessee in this game. And if you want to erase the psyche of Vols fans and get rid of battered Vols syndrome and all that, play like this is 2021 again. Coach like it's 2021. Go in there with house money. Don't coach scared. Go for it on 4th and 5. Go for it on 4th and 7 at times. Roll the dice. This is an offense that can score points. They don't need to play tight. To me, that's the big key in this game. And I think Josh Heupel at times this year has coached tight. And we never saw that in the first year. They overachieved in year one with that team that was headed to NCAA sanctions by going 7-5. And they scored a ton of points doing so. And he never coached scared. He needs to resuscitate that version of himself tomorrow night in the Swamp, in my opinion. If Tennessee does that, if Joey Aguilar doesn't throw 3 picks, I think they go down there and win. But, you know, the bad ball syndrome in me will say that they're definitely going to go down there and play terrible and find a way to lose.
Chad, I saw this headline on CBSSports.com, and I would love your opinion on it. There was a report that if Lane Kiffin takes the LSU job, the Tigers are open to Ed Orgeron returning as an assistant on his staff. How do you think that pairing would work at LSU if that report actually comes to fruition?
Well, I'll tell you this. Keith Carter and Ole Miss, they better turn off those cell phones that are issued to Lane Kiffin, because if Ed Orgeron's a part of it, they're going to be calling those Ole Miss signees quickly. If it's anything like Tennessee in 2009, famously they were texting and calling Tennessee recruits and tell them to go to USC when Ed Orgeron and Lane Kiffin bolted last time. I think it would be fine, you know, because Ed Orgeron is sort of Lane Kiffin's muscle when they've coached together in the past. He's a great recruiter. He knows the state of Louisiana. They're going to get great players, whoever their coach is. So I think it would be fine if they decided to go that route. You know, the whole Kiffin standoff is really interesting to me because we've seen these documentaries and all these things about how Kiffin does hot yoga now and he's a family man and he does this and that. And he's a changed guy. And I'm watching this whole saga, guys. I see no difference from this and 2009.
Really? That was going to be my follow-up because I think that's a great question.
And Saban, right, Willie? I mean, think about how he couldn't show up to meetings on time. And Nick Saban cut him loose early, you know, when he was preparing for a national championship run.
Because don't you think his image from afar, it looks like he's grown up some. Like he, you know, some of the crazy stuff. And Chad, you and I were working on a daily basis back in the days when he was the Raiders coach. And then that one year in Knoxville, there was all kinds of stuff. And it got even more zany when he went to USC. Remember the press conference he did? The quote-unquote press conference where he kicked the press out and just answered questions from his SID? Like, he did so many bizarre things. Like, I feel like he's grown out of a lot of that. You say no.
I think that he's grown. Like, I don't want to shortchange Willie the fact that he's grown up a lot over the years. He has in a lot of ways. But I think Lane Kiffin has learned more of – he has changed, and he knows how to act now. I don't think he even knew how to act as a younger coach. I don't think he inherently changed who he is. And I think the fact that he is willing and able to sort of dangle this carrot out and seemingly troll all fan bases involved throughout this whole process with some of the things that he tweets about a big decision upcoming and everything else, it's Lane Kiffin is always going to be Lane Kiffin. I think that he's matured in the way that he acts and the way he displays himself publicly when he's interviews and everything else. But I think deep down, he's kind of always this guy. I could argue there's no reason to leave Ole Miss if you're Lane Kiffin. You've got him in the playoff right now. They got one loss. You're going to have financial backing. You know, you basically got a lifetime contract with that school right now. They could win to Ole Miss, but it's not the era of you got to go to LSU or Florida if you get the opportunity. Now, I could also understand why someone would leave Ole Miss for LSU or Florida, but I just don't think that he's changed, but he's not completely changed who he was even back in 2009 when we were covering him daily.
Chad, I just want you to know that someone just texted in all caps about Lane Kiffin. He has not changed one bit. Lane Kiffin is a pathetic excuse of a man, a sociopathic, narcissistic Judas of a man.
Yeah, that's a Judas of a man. I'm assuming that guy also thinks he's going to lose tomorrow in Florida because he's got battered ball syndrome also.
Perhaps.
Whoever sent that text in. Yeah. No, look, I think that he's changed a lot, and I think that he's improved a lot. I still just think as a coach and how he looks at situations like this, he's always going to be Lane Kiffin.
Now, Chad, I think I heard this on you guys' show, and if I didn't, please let me know. And you were talking about, I believe, this whole Lane Kiffin saga. And how potentially there could be some type of change with these coaches, because what's happening now, and I think this is what you guys mentioned, that now any coach within the conference can sort of circumvent it and try to undermine you and get your coach even while you're in the playoffs. So Sankey's setting up some type of system where, hey, listen, just like the portal, you can't talk to coaches during this time, especially coaches that are in the running for a national championship, because what happens is it causes a distraction, and that's not fair to the players. And however Lane's going to play this, if he's playing coy because he wants more money or is he really going to leave, and ultimately this brings more attention and distractions to his team.
Yeah, no, you're right, D-Mace. We were talking about this on our show. And it's not – there's no system in place. There's no rule in place. Mm-hmm. But we all know that Greg Sankey does not encourage this type of stuff, especially with a team that's headed to the playoff. Like, this is not something that Sankey wants to see as one SEC program or two programs trying to snipe another SEC program's coach, especially while they're in the mix for the playoff. I mean, Chris Lowe reported it yesterday. I mean, there's stipulations in the playoff committee's language of how they pick teams that could dock Ole Miss spots in the playoff race based on Lane Kiffin leaving, which I think is total crap, by the way. I really don't like. I didn't like the Jordan Travis thing at Florida State and what they used with that. And I don't think if we're about student athletes and the players, I mean, give me a break. What does that tell the players if they're going to move them down four spots in the playoff because their coach left and they had no say in that at all? I really don't understand that. But, yeah, the SEC needs a rule in place. The NFL functions very well because coaches actually have to honor a contract. And you can't flirt with another job when you have one if you're a head coach. You can't go somewhere else. If the SEC or the SEC and the Big Ten got together and said, hey, let's do an NFL model where we can't go and snipe other programs' coaches, but you have to go to another league to get a coach, I think that would help everyone. But as we know, the almighty dollar points us in every direction, and agents and coaches right now aren't going to want that.
Now, Chad, with programs like and right now it's Vandy, but programs like Vandy that have been in, you know, sort of this regression for so long, but now showing some progress and ensuring that their program get better, and you have a season like you have where you're potentially on that crisp cusp of making it to a college football playoffs, and you don't make it, say you lose another game or two, does that take steam away from the program? And I'm just saying programs like Vandy's in general, where you've been the doormat for so long, and then you get a window where you have an opportunity to win and you don't take advantage of that window of going into the college football playoffs.
Well, I don't know that it takes away steam from Vandy, but I'm also very interested to see what Vandy becomes post Diego Pavia. And I don't know if you guys saw the story, but the Diego Pavia story could continue, possibly based on a lawsuit that he's involved in with Joey Aguilar.
Yes.
So Tennessee and Vandy kind of joining forces with this, which is crazy.
Who would have thought?
This is a broader topic. Like, I love this idea for Tennessee, and I hate this idea for college football. And I thought the same thing about Diego Pavia coming back. Man, great thing for Diego Pavia. He's going to get paid a lot of money, and he's going to go back to Vandy. Great thing for Vandy fans. Terrible for college football that we're allowing guys to go to junior college as long as they want and seemingly play as long as they want. But with Vanderbilt, I think it's all about keeping Clark Lee for the future. It's all about Jerry Kill and Tim Beck and keeping that, you know, triumvirate together. And if you can do that, they could probably go plug and play and still be a very competitive team with a new quarterback next year. Now, here's the big thing for me that I'm disappointed if I'm Vandy, and I'm disappointed if I'm Clark Lee. Let's say they go 10-2. Let's say they take care of business against Kentucky. Let's say they go to Knoxville and beat a three-loss Tennessee team at the time, if Tennessee wins in the Swamp. And they get left out of the playoffs? Are you kidding me? I mean, 10-2? Like, if you're Clark Lee – or you're a Vandy fan, you're looking around saying, we went 10-2 in the SEC and got left out of the playoffs, and we're just going to a New Year's Day Bowl, or we're going to the Citrus Bowl or whatever it is. That would be terribly disappointing, and that's where they are right now unless some things break the right way around them.
All right, Chad, here's one for you. Texas A&M is 10-0. I'm the coach of Texas A&M, and I've got Samford, the Bulldogs. We're going to take care of them. We're 11-0. We're playing Texas. I know I want to win a national championship. I've got Marcel Reed as my quarterback. I'm not playing him against Texas. We're in the playoffs whether we win or lose that game. I'm taking him, taking a couple other of my key guys. I'm resting them, just like an NFL coach would do in week 17 of a season. Am I crazy?
No, not at all.
I mean, think about the ramifications of that decision if you chose to do it. That would just upset the whole apple cart.
And here's where you get into sort of a collusion type scenario. First off, if I'm Greg Sankey, I'm sending Mike Elko. Looks like he's a bourbon guy. Just looking at that boiler on him. I think he likes some brown liquor. Don't know that, but just looks like he'd like it. I'd send him a case of his favorite bourbon to do that, to give Texas a big win over an undefeated. Because if you can set up a scenario where you get another SEC team in, and I'm not saying Texas will be in that spot because they have the three losses, but in a different year where it's a team with two losses and they need a huge win over a highly ranked team, if some team decides to rest, guys, boy, you're scoring bonus points with the SEC by doing that because you're giving another member school an easy path to the playoffs in doing that. Now, a lot of things could happen, and Texas may get their way back in to the playoff mix for all that we know, even with three losses. But if that was the scenario, I mean, that's going to raise a lot of eyebrows. If Texas A&M set all their guys, I don't think they're going to against Texas. But if any type of scenario played out like that, undefeated team says, I'm going to rest my guys against a two-loss SEC team and basically gives them the playoff in that game, that's going to be a big problem.
Chad Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday, and he is now brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Chad, great stuff as always. Try not to beat yourself up too much before the game tomorrow. We'll talk next week.
Guys, I'm at peace. I've already accepted the fact of what's going to happen. I'm just going to sit back and watch. Not going to stop me from getting angry or throwing something at the TV, but I know exactly what's going to happen. Now, all I need to know is, when are we meeting at Sbarro? So once you guys let me know that.
Is the Sbarro still open?
Yeah, we'll find a Sbarro.
Sbarro is usually open.
If we have to go to a mall somewhere, we'll meet up at the mall.
It's hard to find a mall that's open these days, too. Thank you, Chad. We'll catch up next week.
All right, have a good weekend. See you guys.
615-737-1025. We can react to what Chad had to say. You can as well. We'll also get back into your reaction on our Barry Trotz interview from yesterday, because we have a lot of reaction we did not get to before we talked to Chad. So 615-737-1025. DVD is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.